I have an entire family of police chiefs, service and community service. So I was the kid doing beach cleanups. I grew up in South Jersey at the beach, and I was always involved in community events. So I had a lot of underpinning of seeing how it works and learning from that perspective. I started out, my undergraduate was in poli-sci and communications, and I worked for a lot of politicians at all different levels. And I originally thought I wanted to be a campaign manager. And I started working for politicians. I learned about all the different roles. And then I really learned about local government and this manager role of the person who does everything. In my childhood, I laughed. My mother's joke is always, I was in kindergarten in a church play. And right as the play was about to start, there were about three kids who got really nervous and didn't want to do their roles. I took over four roles in that play. I was like, the Christmas tree, the reindeer, the whatever. So
that's a great metaphor.
No, my mother's joke is always that you've always been the one to just be able to step in and lead and do those type of things. I guess in a weird way, I've been able to handle a lot of different roles and do that.
Welcome to PCC Local Time. This week we have a special episode, the first in a series of episodes created in partnership with APMM, the Association of Professional Municipal Managers in Pennsylvania. We are talking with the current and upcoming presidents, Amanda Surak and Dave Praboka, about the topics that are challenging local government today and the municipal manager who is behind the scenes making it all happen. Amanda came up through the ranks to her role as professional manager, while Dave, as Amanda informs him, grabbed the brass ring right out of the gate with early entry into the ranks of management. Together, they exemplify the dynamic possibilities of leadership and management at the local level, and both offer a glimpse into what professionals and leaders coming up through today understand about the future of our local government. If nothing else, this first episode is an invitation. Come to the APMM conference in May. Join us at the ICMA conference in Pittsburgh this October. Meet professionals from every walk of life and join them in the conversations that are shaping our future. Follow this podcast and sign up for the newsletter to follow this series and related episodes. If you have been sitting on the fence, well, we are waiting for you. Now, let's get started.
What I'd like to start out with today, Amanda and Dave, is something about the value around these learning experiences that happen within APMM, what it is that takes place after conference sessions and the informal meets that make APMM such a rich organization to meet and connect with other managers and peers.
I would say one of the greatest benefits of our organization is networking and getting the opportunity after educational sessions to digest and ask questions of your colleagues. I know for me personally, a lot of times when I'm sitting in the various sessions that we have, which is a large part of what APMM does and a benefit is training. When I'm sitting in there, my mind is turning on all the things that you have going on and how that relates to you, that topic or what's happening. And sometimes in the end of the room, when everyone's asking questions, someone might ask a question or you might understand more about somebody else who's on the panel. And then my brain starts going. Then a lot of times when you're done with that and you get done the session, you've had time to digest and think about that a little further, it might lead you to either share one of your stories or ask a question of how they are doing something. I know for myself personally, at many of the sessions, I have sat and had conversations after about, how are you doing that? Is there something you're doing differently? I find a lot of times on the technology topics that I learn a lot from others and learning what they're doing differently than what I'm doing, which I always find really interesting, especially when it comes around that. We recently had a session at one of our last conferences about how municipal managers are using that platform. And I had tons of conversations with managers afterwards about what they're doing and how they're doing it. And even to nitty gritty of like how they're prompting ChatGPT to get the right information out. So that was really helpful. So personally, I find that after a conversation where you can just flow with somebody without the room dynamic of a lot of people, it's really beneficial for me.
I agree with all that. I would add too, I think there's a lot of just catharsis that you get from chatting with your fellow managers, either over a beer or over dinner or after, you know, a long day of sessions, whether it's reflecting on the content or talking about something specifically that they've faced or that you faced within your respective communities. Because let's be honest, we're isolated in our organizations because there's only one manager. You might have an assistant manager and you can certainly lean on them to help get you through some of the tough times. But that's really it. And when we talk to each other in these, you know, casual settings, it's an opportunity to blow off steam. It's an opportunity for us to engage with our colleagues in a more personal way about the issues that we face, opportunities that, quite frankly, we don't even get with our spouses or significant others because they don't understand the nuance of everything that we do and experience day in, day out. So it really is almost the only opportunity that we get at these conferences and training sessions to kibitz really with our colleagues who, you know, gone through the same experiences that we've had, understand the restraints that we're operating with, the dynamics of the elected officials and a council manager environment, and just being able to have that shoulder to lean on and bounce ideas off of, and even just get sympathy for maybe an experience that they've gone through is really valuable in just sustaining our own mental health in the profession.
Yeah,
that's right. I think I'll add too, you create fast friends. You all know what one another is really dealing with and what they're doing. So you don't have to have the conversation about that, where you have to constantly explain your career to people outside of our career. You don't have to do that with this group. We all understand what you're going through. So you can really, like Dave said, that cathartic sort of moment. We all are already sympathizing with you when we know you're a municipal manager or an assistant manager, because we understand what you're doing day to day, which is a rarity. So it's really nice when you get to do that with colleagues.
Yeah. I can imagine that the feedback feels great when it's something you've been struggling with and then you feel like somebody else understands it. And I can also imagine that something that maybe that you've imagined is like unattainable or just really out there, and you hear another manager say, no, we're doing that. And then it suddenly comes alive that this is something that is actually happening and accessible. So it's a really exciting way to expand, I think, new ways we think about the profession. And this APMM series that we're putting together, I find really innovative because you're expanding this idea and you're really working on, we're organically developing the episodes for this year through talking with your board members, talking with your committee chairs. So you're really activating that core of professionals that are involved. I find this so exciting. And I'm wondering if there's anything in particular that you would like to see come out of this year of episodes in terms of connecting people, sharing ideas. What is it that you hope this series can accomplish?
Yeah, I'd love to just under the general category of innovation, to learn more about what our colleagues around the state are doing to innovate. And that could be across any area. It could be applied to the sustainability investments that we're making in our communities financially, or you know, with respect to our climate adaptation strategies, or to adapt to the smart cities concept that's emerging and growing in the profession. Amanda talked about artificial intelligence and the advent of those kinds of technologies at a scale that's affordable and reachable to local government. Just across the spectrum, what are our colleagues doing to innovate in those spaces, and what can we learn from, and how can we support each other in those efforts?
Those are really exciting topics. Go ahead, Amanda.
And they are. I'll also add too, I think the exciting thing for me with the podcast and us working on this partnership is reach. We talk a lot about, we do a lot at conferences, but we don't do a lot of online reach. So we're working actually right now. One of my objectives as president was starting a LinkedIn account, trying to get and do further on the promotion side of what we are doing. Our entire association, what we do is promoting professional and effective local government. So if we can reach more people in a different avenue on with these topics and expand from our conferences or sessions, it provides another medium for folks to pay attention to what we're doing and get more involved in a different way. I will add that in addition to the innovative topics and the things that we're trying to do, I think that this medium provides us another way to reach folks in our mission of promoting effective government.
And keeps the topics very fresh. It is real like meaningful touch points between your gatherings. I want to talk about then some of the topics that you're most excited to talk about in the series. And if you have a personal story behind why that topic is important to you, I would love to have you share that.
Based on some of the topics that we've talked about sharing through the podcast, I can talk about some things that are more close to home for me. One of those is the generational dynamics in the workplace. I used to be a director of personnel, and understanding how the generational dynamic affects local government as a workplace. Local government has always operated very similar to the bank. You walk in, you have customer service. And now we have younger generations who we're trying to employ who want to work from home since COVID. And the dynamics that have changed dramatically, even in the technology for local governments. A lot of us weren't live streaming our meetings until COVID happened. There's a lot of things that we're doing and ways that we're trying to reach our residents from apps on your phone for your government, paying online, doing all these things that we really did not used to do, but the different generations are demanding and how we operate as a local government. I'm really interested. I also have four different generations on my council. I have a traditionalist and I have a millennial. It's very interesting when you think about, I have seven council members and how I provide them their information and how they want information provided to the public. I do find those generational things between my employees and my elected officials very interesting, complex, and I love to learn from others about the things that they're doing to enhance those measures. Additionally, emergency services and the modernization of that. When we talk about fire, we're working in a Ben Franklin model. We're still doing that. We have a lot of volunteerism. We are moving to paid. I am the daughter of a fire marshal. So my father was a volunteer firefighter from the day he turned 18. He was also a Marine. I have an interesting dynamic that I grew up with, but I have such a love for volunteerism in fire departments and understand the importance of having paid individuals and creating careers for those folks to be able to work and live potentially in their community. I am always on the edge of my seat of knowing what it's like from a personal level and seeing the men and women who volunteer their time still and commit to that public service, even at a paid level. It's so important, very important, and going to affect us for another generation to come until we get this figured out. And there's a lot of nuances to that at our state level and local level on how we handle that moving forward. So I definitely have interest there. And also future of local government. We hit on that on the generational side. We're changing. Things are changing. Our roles are changing. Politics are changing. We recently had a topic of that at our executive development conference about reaching across the aisle. We are apolitical professionals. We work with politicians and our jobs are appointed. Things are changing as those political dynamics change, our roles change. And I think just for employees in general and our service delivery is changing rapidly on what folks want, what we can afford, and how we go about bringing the revenue to be able to do the services that people would like to see at the local level. That's also an area that I find interesting.
Yeah, that's a lot there. Amanda, I had to take some notes down to catch up with you. The intergenerational dynamics, it's interesting. We've talked about employees, but you are right that the board change is probably at root requiring a different way of working together and getting them to work together. So that's one I made a note about. And on the emergency services, I do think there are some models coming up. And that is something you mentioned is going to be at your conference coming up in May, if I've got it right, one of your panels. So we've got that slated for early June. I was thinking like we want to maybe each month have one episode that's kind of hardcore in a service topic, and then maybe another one that's more people's oriented in terms of shifting dynamics, change management, other transitional. I've thought of that loosely, but I think the emergency services is one that actually could be a series. I'm also scheduling some episodes, not part of the APMM series, but with some professionals that are linked very closely in that topic area.
I talked fire, EMS, police is a whole nother. You could have a whole topic just on the changing in the police departments and what my colleagues are dealing with.
Yes. And I think that is a separate episode. We'll come back and talk about that schedule. When we follow this episode today, we'll try to put out for those who are interested. And you'll want to sign up for the newsletter and maybe APM newsletter. I'm not sure how often you go out, but we'll make sure that roadmap is in there with just a breakout of what topics we're going to do what month, and not set in stone, but we'll give people an idea. Dave, you submitted some great ideas, some great people, some contacts, which I'm following up on as well with the both the community health topic and the emergency services. But tell us what's ticking in your brain when you think about these topics and what's gelling for you in terms of what brings it close to home.
Yeah, I would ditto everything Amanda said. I think she really hit the nail on the head across those three or so topics, broader thematic areas. I bet if you surveyed 100 managers, 99 of them would, you know, perhaps not as eloquently as Amanda put it, but certainly touch on those three areas as really they're interested in and keying in on. Public safety is a crisis. You talk about fire and police and EMS as a group, and you can talk about them as a group because there's a lot of similarities, but each one of those, as Amanda put it, has its own, you know, nuance and its own components to it that are unique to their disciplines. Volunteer fire is in and of itself certainly a crisis reaching existential levels in the Commonwealth, and how we attract, recruit, and adapt our fire services model to the new generations, the decline in volunteerism, accommodate the exorbitant costs associated with career fire when needed, prepare for that because we know it's coming. We're not sure when, but we know it is. That in and of itself could drive a whole series of these podcasts. If you extend it to law enforcement, I talked to a number of colleagues around the state, and we're all in varying places with respect to our recruitment and retention of police officers, but everybody's starting to feel the pinch. Certainly we are in my township in Susquehanna. So the public safety topic as in general is something I think that there's going to get a lot of traction and a lot of interest, questions and feedback from our membership. So I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited for the session at the conference. The topic of sustainability, Nancy, you mentioned that some of the people I've tried to put you in touch with that are really pioneering the front lines of local government and our seat at the table when it comes to adaptation and mitigation of our changing climate in Pennsylvania. It's no longer really, at least in my worldview, a political talking point. Certainly is at the federal level, but less so at the state and local level, certainly less at the local level, because we're the ones that are having to contend with almost on a daily basis our failing infrastructure, our declining revenue to invest in these capital repairs that are needed and the operational kinds of expenses that are associated with just handling the enormous volume of runoff and rainwater that we're dealing with on you know, a month by month basis here. I'm sure if you again surveyed a room full of 100 managers, a overwhelming majority of them would have horror stories about failed infrastructure and emergency repairs and just the ability to keep up with that demand, not just to replace in kind what was in the ground versus with the same kind that was in there before, but to be able to upsize these facilities, to be able to adapt, because no longer is the 100-year storm once every 100 years, right? It's once every 2 years, or maybe once or twice every year. Those are things that are going to tax our base, our residents, our elected officials. It's very esoteric. It's difficult to really wrap your head around, especially if you're a young elected official. So it ties in very closely with what Amanda was talking about with the generational differences in elected officials. 10, 15 years ago, you might have had an elected body that was primarily members that had been on council for a decade or more, or they were in the planning commission, they were in the farm system somewhere, they were on a rec board or whatever. That's not the case anymore. Now you got people that are idealistic. They may be single issue, they may not be, but they want to run for the big office. They're not interested in doing their time in the minor leagues. They want to go right for the majors. And that's going to be, that certainly is an educational gap that we as managers need to overcome. But as it applies to this broad topic of sustainability, it's even doubly difficult because now you've got to be able to educate why government has a seat at the table here, where historic local government, that is, where historically we might not have. Yes, you have, fortunately, a generation, I think, that gets it more, perhaps, than generations prior to them. But when it comes time to write the check, or when it comes time to make the difficult decisions, like the opportunity costs that you're going to have to set aside for until they can be reprioritized and reinvested in order to spend money on the gray infrastructure. You know, it's hard to convince a younger elected official that a rain garden in this case is probably not as good as a pipe in the ground and an inlet. And yes, we would love rain gardens and we want to have that green infrastructure, but the amount of runoff that we're asking for this particular facility to handle is just not going to cut it with a few plantings and an underdrain. These are the kind, we got to be engineers. We got to be diplomats. We've got to be the managers and leaders that we were always expected to be. And now we have that additional role of education. And I think when you look at it from the topic of sustainability, it exemplifies all of those hats that we have to wear. And really, I think is something that we can get excited about as membership to be able to talk about these in this podcast or in other conversations in the future.
Yeah, there's so much to unpack with what you just said. And what it makes me think about is that the podcast really does preserve some of these conversations that you're about to have. There'll be transcripts and notes because I could pull so much out of what you both said just in terms of what managers are facing. And it really is important that it be better, made more visible, and that some of the managers coming up through are very aware of just what other managers are thinking about, that they're not alone in that. I think they get that, but I think they'll be affirmed in their thoughts this way. And I just think that there's a lot of very nuanced changes happening. And I think you're alluding to some of that. And I want to just, the one word that has been coming to my mind is like, it's this micro level. Change happens at a micro level. When you're in a complex system, it's not like black and white, we do something and then the problem is solved, it's over. It involves a lot of micro changes. And there's a lot of that is happening on the ground at the local government level. And you seem to get that, Dave, in terms of the way it's going to work. It's not going to just happen up there in the big government realm. It's going to happen down here where we're with the boots on the ground and in the communities. So I'm very excited to think about these topics and to hit on this idea of professional management, because I do think the professionalization of the field has been an important development over the last decades. And I have a personal question in that I want to know when you both, and Dave, I'll let you start this time, when you thought of yourself, first thought of yourself as a professional manager, and what does it mean to you, actually? If somebody is out there thinking, that sounds like an interesting field, what does it actually mean to be a professional manager? Do you call yourself that? And when
you're asking me that question,
when did you start calling yourself that?
No, I think this profession and probably similar experience for many others, it was something I gravitated toward right away. I maybe, like some of my colleagues, I really didn't have a full understanding or appreciation of it. Unlike Amanda, was a human resource professional and had some local government inroads. When I took my first job, it was an assistant manager. And so I tell people I was born into it, at least professionally. It was all I ever really knew. And that gives me an advantage in some applications, and I'm at a disadvantage in others because I'll never be able to entirely sympathize with, any of my direct reports or my department heads, because I've just never really had to put myself in their shoes in the very specific kind of way that, might give me a fuller understanding of the kinds of challenges that they have to overcome. But at the same time, it's a wide breadth of all the issues that we're faced with. And so I think I tell people that I try to be a jack of all trades and a master of none. And that is something I've always really liked personally. And to find a profession that allows me to explore a lot of different areas and overcome a lot of different challenges, and also play the role of a translator, being able to communicate these complex issues to elected officials, to residents, to, people who don't live and breathe the same kinds of things that Amanda and I do and others in our profession. It was immediately, appealing to me. I stumbled into this profession. I wouldn't say that I sought it out. And from the time I was a whippersnapper, I wanted to be a manager when I grew up. I tried to be more of a leader than a manager where I can be, and a servant leader, somebody who invests in my staff and in my reports and my direct reports and helps them to succeed and removes their obstacles. It's another thing that really appealed to me from the very beginning of my tenure here. Yeah. So I don't know that there was ever a time where I thought of myself as a professional manager. Maybe when I put the tie on, I looked the part a little bit more so than I normally do. But otherwise, I'm just going with the flow and doing my best to be more of an asset than an obstacle.
I don't know if Amanda, if you came up through knowing that was your eventual, that was your goal to be a manager, I think that makes a difference. Some people like wind up in this position and they go, I'm not sure how I got here, but here I am. And then they have to really, I think I feel that, you know, step into those shoes and really feel that this is who I am now. I'm going to be a manager and it's going to be my career, or I'm going to stay with it for as long as I can. So Amanda, when you were coming up through, was it in your mind that this is what I'm going to be doing?
Not necessarily, not at the start. What I can say is I had a lot of influences. I have an uncle who's a police chief. I have a mother who's a school teacher. I had a father who was a president of council, volunteer firefighter for over 50 years, an uncle who was a volunteer firefighter for over 50 years. I have an entire family of police chiefs, service and community service. So I was the kid doing beach cleanups. I grew up in South Jersey at the beach, and I was always involved in community events. So I had a lot of underpinning of seeing how it works and learning from that perspective. I started out, my undergraduate was in poli-sci and communications, and I worked for a lot of politicians at all different levels. And I originally thought I wanted to be a campaign manager. And I started working for politicians. I learned about all the different roles. And then I really learned about local government and this manager role of the person who does everything. In my childhood, I laughed. My mother's joke is always, I was in kindergarten in a church play. And right as the play was about to start, there were about three kids who got really nervous and didn't want to do their roles. I took over four roles in that play. I was like, Christmas tree, the reindeer, the whatever. So
that's a great metaphor.
No, my mother's joke is always that you've always been the one to just be able to step in and lead and do those type of things. I guess in a weird way, I've been able to handle a lot of different roles and do that. And that's, so my start's also different than Dave's. So I started it in an internship through my MPA program through Villanova. And then I got a fellowship at Radnor, which is how I started. Worked my way up. I became the HR manager. Then I became a director of personnel. And then I became the director of personnel and public affairs. I had a communications background and took over for someone who had left. And then from there, I became an assistant township manager. So Dave got the holy grail. You got the brass ring right out the gate, Dave. Then I became an assistant manager. I was raising a family. It was a perfect role for me at the time with little ones, and then jumped to become a municipal manager. So I always felt like my superpower was I knew all of the roles. So when I came in as manager, I had actually played a lot of the parts. So I was also a building code official. I also was a finance director in those roles. So I really knew a lot of things and had some strengths in areas that some of my counterparts didn't. So I felt like that gave me a little bit of a leg up. I also had my MPA. And as far as becoming, when I felt like I was a professional manager, sort of the start of that question, Nancy, I think when I became a manager, I really feel like I know now in my role, I've been here, I'm 6 years, coming on 7 years here. And I'm really lucky. I have a group of seven individuals, while they're four different generations, who are fantastic. I have folks who really want to help their communities. They turn to me. I've gained that trust over time, and they turn to me for opinions. And I've become that leader behind the scenes that really helps them shine. And I feel like that's how, when you're looked at as a professional in your, whatever your acumen is, whatever your career is, when you become that person that people turn to and ask questions, and your colleagues even, I feel like that's when you hit that sweet spot of really feeling comfortable in your own skin and the years of experience you've had behind you and having the ability to take on that role.
Amanda has perspective that I will never have. And she has a level of credibility in some of those disciplines that those of us that started as managers or assistant managers, we just, no matter how hard we try, we just won't ever be able to fully appreciate. I think her and my career paths have been very different. I never underestimate the role of serendipity and just what being in the right place at the right time has had in my life, both personally and professionally. I've been quite fortunate. And I think I'm in good company. I'm a student of Teddy Roosevelt and his leadership qualities. And he would be the first to say the same thing if he were still alive. He's been dead for a long time. But if he were still alive, he would say, yeah, a lot of my achievements in life were just by virtue of being in the right place at the right time. And I think that was what led to, in some ways, my career. I'm not saying that I wasn't qualified or or I'm not trying to discount or make light of my qualifications otherwise, but sometimes it's just a matter of riding the wave.
Yeah. I've been around long enough to follow the paths of some professionals that I knew once were in a planning and codes department, and then one day they're manager. And I know that APMM, that one of the things that members have talked about in my conversations leading up to this podcast planning have been about how to make it more inclusive. And part of that is feeling like it's okay when I walk into the conference and this is my first conference and I came about this role through this means that maybe doesn't feel authentic. Like I maybe don't have my MPA yet. Maybe I'm just in this role and I really need to know what you guys are talking about. But it's that sense of it's okay. That is exactly why APMM is there. I wonder if you could say something to your intentions around widening the reach of APMM. It's not just about the hardcore professionals. It's the ones that are tentatively seeking that sense of confidence.
You're up, Amanda.
Oh, well, I'm up. It's me. And are you saying sort of, you know, because you started saying when new people come in and then how they can, you know, explore their path in the field?
Yes. If they are not yet like a credentialed manager, they're not yet with their MPA, but they're finding themselves in this position. And they want to know, am I going to be comfortable coming to your conference? Am I going to feel welcome? Because I may not call myself a professional yet. I'm still.
Nancy, look at these faces. Look at Dave and I.
Come on in. Welcome.
So can we be any more welcoming?
I don't know, really. But I would say we are extremely welcome. I can give you a story. So when I was, and during my internship, I worked for Larry Kump, one of my first mentors there. And Larry, and there was a woman, Charlene Stevens, who with his assistant, and they had encouraged me to go to an APMM conference. It was a joint conference with New Jersey and Atlantic City. And I grew up in North Wildwood. So I was on my way home at the time for Memorial Day or something. And they were saying, oh, come and stop in to the managers. So I remembered I wore a suit and I was all like excited. It was my first hanging out with a lot of managers. I've met through my internship. I had one, but then meeting more people through APMM, and I was going to join as a student. So I came, I walked in, and at first I felt like the record scratched because you don't know anybody and you're nervous, and I was new. And when everybody came over, and they all didn't pounce on me, so it wasn't like that. It was very organic, but people came over immediately and started introducing me to folks, trying to get me hired. It was like the most lovely thing that I could experience, because you're nervous when you first come in, or you come into a group of people, or you feel like you're less than, you don't have that role maybe, or maybe you're not the manager, maybe you're the assistant, and you're like, can I do that job? The answer is you can. You need to get in with our group, make friends, figure out, all of us have different paths. Like you heard the differences between Dave and I, and Dave's an amazing manager. I think I'm an amazing manager, right? We think we're strong leaders. And I think that there's so many tools that when you walk in that room, you probably already have that you don't realize that are like people that are in that room. So a lot of us have very similar traits in that respect, I would say, when it comes to even wanting to do municipal government. So I think that MEM in particular, and I've worked with other state affiliations, New Jersey, we've done stuff with Maryland before. I think our group is extremely personable, extremely knowledgeable. I think there's a lot of nuances in the Commonwealth that are different that I think we're very helpful in with newer people coming in. But I would say, come on in, we'll take you. I'm sure you're a little crazy. I'm sure if you want to get a municipal government, I know you might have been a wild child, but we definitely welcome you. And there are so many different experiences between all of us. We're like an orchestra. I might be a flute or a clarinet, and someone else, but together we make a great sound. So I would say, come on in.
Who could resist that? I know when the conference that you played in last year was great. There was like an option between, I don't know if it was a baseball game in the art gallery or something like that. I'm like, I'm going to find my tribe at that art gallery. Right? And you do. You find other people who are like, yeah, this is where we want to be. And then you all meet at the beer garden afterwards.
Yeah.
You guys are diverse. So I do want to just, for our listeners, and also to bring this to a close today, Amanda, you have just, you're the outgoing president of APMM this year. So you've had a big year with some very successful conferences. And Dave, you are the incoming president. And I guess this officially happens at your APMM conference, but there's also, this is a big year with the ICMA, which is the International City Managers Association. It's happening in Pittsburgh. And I wonder if you might want to talk about how APMM is gearing up for that.
Yeah, super exciting. Like you said, I think this has been in the planning process, even preliminarily, for probably close to 10 years or so. I think my first experience with the APMM Executive Committee as a regional vice president, we were putting in our proposal to ICMA to have the conference. It's exciting that I get to be in a leadership role in the association and to enjoy and experience that conference and hopefully showcase a little bit of what we offer in Pennsylvania. We have such a specific and unique view of local government and our role. I think it's intriguing to others around the country who don't operate in the same confines that we do, but also don't necessarily have the same opportunities that we do to network and learn from one another and to share our service model and to benefit from each other's experiences and progress. The conference is going to be, I think, an opportunity to do just that. I'm looking forward to some of the tracks. It's a very, as I'm learning as I go, it's a very involved program committee, and how they go about reviewing and considering proposals. It's a competitive process. That the sessions that they offer, that the topics that they focus on are going to be ones that were, you know, scrutinized and evaluated by our colleagues around the country and around the state. I know Carolyn McCreary, she's been involved in some of that capacity, Dave Berman, others as well. So it's going to have just about everything. And as far as APMM's involvement go, we committed $50,000 to support that conference, to help with planning, to help with event coordination, our colleagues on the western part of the state. And I'm, you know, the oddball of that group, because I'm the only one on that host committee that's not from Allegheny County somewhere all the way out there. But they've been really doing a lot of exciting things to plan for events, to make it a welcoming conference and a conference to remember. I think it's the 110th, so it's a nice round number. So we're all excited to be out there in Way West Philadelphia in September.
It's a really intense conference. That's what I've learned the last few. I've only been to a few, but it's very intense. And they're going to do it at the convention center. Is that, it's a lot of people.
Big venue, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's unique because it's right in the city. So you're going to be able to experience everything Pittsburgh has to offer. And you're going to be able to enjoy the city, go to your sessions, you know, have a, you know, social hour with your colleagues and, you know, people that hopefully you meet along the way.
It's going to be great. And the APMM conference coming up in May is a lot more intimate. That's the place you want to go maybe for your first experience. Make some friends if you haven't been before. And tell us about where that's going to be.
Oh, I can lead there. We are in Bethlehem. We are at Wind Creek, right near the stacks, right? You get to enjoy that area. It's fantastic. It'll be May 20th through the 22nd. Our programming has been phenomenal. Our conference chair this year that I selected was Crandall Jones. He's a phenomenal manager, wonderful human being, and has come up with some really great ideas for this year's conference that are going to do some different things than we've done in the past. He also has Carolyn McCreary, another phenomenal colleague of ours who we love, and she is handling a lot of the programming and getting everything set up. We have everything from continuing our book series. We actually have the authors who are going to be present for Becoming Coachable, which is such an interesting topic. When you think about municipal managers, we can't just talk. We have to listen and we have to learn things and be coachable ourselves. And it's going to be such a great session. And then they're also going to talk about that EMS topic and fire and police and that changing world. Another topic they'll be talking about is managing boards or changing boards, which is a theme of a lot of the things Dave and I talked about today. Well, you can't miss it if you are a municipal manager, assistant manager, director. Coming up, we have lots of great sponsors who are going to be here. We're doing some really great things. Nancy, you'll be there. We're really excited and it's going to be phenomenal and fantastic. And we have something for everybody. If you're not into golf, we've got a tour of the stacks, actually. And then I think we go to a brewery or somewhere afterwards. So you can definitely find some stuff to do while you're in town.
Yeah, having this conference in Bethlehem at this time, and especially with the challenges that face our profession, we really can't be undersold. And I'm a third generation Bethlehem born and not entirely mm-hmm. raised, but somewhat. And so my whole family, basically from the time that we emigrated from Europe, has been in the Bethlehem area. And it really is just a melting pot culturally, socioeconomically, and the impact that Bethlehem Steel had and in its wake, the Sand Casino and now Wind Creek has all of the overtones of local government and its involvement in the community and its importance in the framework that just builds these, brings these cultures together and brings these experiences together and creates such a unique place in the world. Having it at Bethlehem, I'm super excited about it. I think it's a great venue. I think, like Amanda said, the programming is going to be wonderful. The events are going to be great. Make sure everyone that's watching this, that you're there. You're at ICMA too, and then you sign up to volunteer at ICMA, which is the other plug that I need to put in. So big things on the horizon. Now we just got to pray for sunny weather.
Yep. Yeah.
It's an exciting year for APMM. And I'm going to put in the show notes links to both of those conferences so people can access that. You should follow PCC Local Time if you want to get all of the APMM series episodes coming up. You could sign up for the newsletter to get more information and join APMM and really get a taste of it. So this is the year to do it if you've been thinking about it. And I'm very excited to get this underway. I'll be in touch soon. Thank you so much, Amanda. I want to just congratulate you on a really successful year as president. And Dave, I'm just thrilled you are the next upcoming president because I know you're going to keep it going full steam ahead. So thank you so much for both. For being
just a blip in Amanda's shadow, but I would do my best to carry
it. Now you're gonna kill it.
Well, and I will take an opportunity to thank you, Amanda, and I'm gonna do this again at the conference. You know, you've done so much for this organization in this last year. Don't undersell it, don't underplay it. It really has been a pleasure to work with you. Setting me up for success, bringing me in a lot of the conversations from the ground level. It's going to be a huge help to me as I kind of plan to succeed you and then hopefully for those presidents that come in after me. Great job. Thanks for everything you did. And I'll be calling you a lot. So, Joe.
I'm past president. Yeah. I can't wait for the role.
Everyone gets 1 year as emeritus and then you might as well be on call 24/7.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I'll try to take
You're both great. We'll talk to you both soon. See you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.